Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
There are some people who live their whole lives without ever brushing up against the unexplained. They pass through the years grounded in the ordinary, their nights uninterrupted, their homes quiet, their imaginations free to wander without fear. And then there are others, people who, for reasons no one can explain, seem to act like beacons for the strange. They don't go looking for ghosts, but the ghosts find them. That's where this story begins. With a 15-year-old who admits she's had more encounters with the paranormal than she ever wanted. She doesn't know if she was born this way or if something attached itself to her when she was very young. All she knows is that it hasn't stopped. And the question she's left with, the one she can't shake, is whether she's being haunted or whether she's simply losing her grip on what's real. But when you hear her story from the beginning, you'll understand why that question keeps her awake at night. Her earliest memories of the strange go back to when she was only 4. At the time, she didn't even know what a ghost was. She just had this feeling that something was with her, that something had been with her for as long as she could remember. By the time she was 8, that presence stepped into focus. One afternoon, she sat curled up in a massive recliner in the living room of the family's old trailer, the kind of chair you sink into, oversized, almost swallowing you whole. Her dad was nearby, stretched out on the couch in his usual nap, his steady breathing filling the space. Her mom wasn't home. The house was quiet, dim. She doesn't remember if she was watching cartoons or just daydreaming, but she does remember the moment the air shifted. Out of the corner of her eye, something moved. She turned her head and froze. A man was standing in the hallway, walking slowly, calmly toward the kitchen. She stared, heart hammering, barely able to move. He wasn't some shapeless figure. He was clear, detailed, solid enough that for a moment she thought he was alive. He was blonde, dressed in a red shirt and red shorts, and he looked right at her. Then as he stepped into the kitchen, he disappeared. Just like that. Gone. Her body locked, panic consuming her, breath coming fast and shallow. It took everything she had to pull herself out of that recliner and stagger to her dad. She shook him awake, babbling out what she'd seen. And here's the part that stayed with her. He believed her. He didn't dismiss it, didn't laugh it off as a dream or a trick of the light. He listened. For her, that was the moment she knew it was real. After that, she couldn't sleep alone. For years, she crawled into her mom's bed every night, too afraid to close her eyes in the dark by herself. She admits it. She's a scaredy cat. But the thing about fear is that it usually fades with time. You tell yourself you imagined it. You grow out of it. You get over it. Only she didn't. Because the man came back. It was about a year later when she was 9. Another night, another restless sleep. She woke in the dark, blinked, and saw him again. This time he wasn't walking. He was kneeling at the foot of the bed, praying. That detail seared into her memory. She says everything about him was the same. The same face, the same build, the same hair. The only difference was his clothes, no longer red. Now he was dressed head to toe in white. She lay there frozen, too terrified to move, too afraid to breathe. A child staring at something she couldn't understand, couldn't explain. She wondered then, and still wonders now, was it the same man? Can ghosts change clothes? Or was this someone else entirely? Someone who only looked the same? She was too young to know. All she knew was that he was back. And that was enough to send her running. Eventually, the family switched bedrooms. She couldn't handle it anymore, couldn't sleep in the same space where she'd seen him praying. For a while, the move brought relief. The shadows stayed quiet. The nights passed uneventfully until she was 11. That morning started like any other. She stirred awake, rubbed her eyes, stretched under the covers. But when she opened her eyes fully, she froze. There at the foot of the bed stood four figures, a man, a woman, and two children, a family. They didn't look like her ghost. These weren't people she recognized. Their hair was dark, their faces unfamiliar. Their clothing was old-fashioned, like something out of a movie set in the 1800s. They didn't speak. They just watched her. She blinked and they were gone, but the image remained burned in her mind. A family that didn't belong to her standing silently at the edge of her bed. For a while after that, things calmed down again. They moved to a new house. The years ticked by without anything so sharp or undeniable. But quiet never lasts forever. Because just when she thought she might finally be free, the haunting escalated. It began not with something seen, but something felt. She was lying in bed one night when she felt the weight, someone pressing down on her. She could feel the breath on her neck, hot, close. An arm gripped hers, pulling it to her side, then releasing, but not letting go entirely. She gasped, her body tensing, mind racing. But here's what shocked her most. She didn't feel threatened. She felt comforted, protected even. The next night it happened again. The same weight pressing down, the same breath on her neck, the same grip. And again, terror mixed with an unexpected calm. She doesn't know why, but it felt safe. Comfort is a strange thing when it comes from the unknown. You'd think it would help, that it would soothe. But when you're lying in your bed at night and something invisible is pressing down on you, breathing against your neck, gripping your arm, comfort can be worse than fear because it makes you wonder, why does it want you to feel safe? That was the thought that haunted her. On the third night, things changed again. She was drifting towards sleep when she felt the pressure lift as though whatever it was had risen from her body. Then came the sensation of weight shifting across the mattress. Dips in the bed, footsteps walking from one side to the other. She jerked upright, expecting to see a cat, a sibling, anything that would make sense, but the bed was empty. Her heart raced, panic flooded in, and that night she couldn't bring herself to stay. At 15 years old, she left her room and crawled back to her mother, but her mother no longer slept in her own bed. Years of her father's thunderous snoring had driven her to the couch in the living room, and that's where she found her. She curled up at the other end of the couch, trying to rest, trying to convince herself that being near someone else would keep her safe. It didn't. In the middle of the night, she was shaken awake. The same sensation was back, the weight pressing down, the breath against her skin. But this time, the grip wasn't on her arm. It was on her hand. She lay there in the dark, paralyzed, every nerve alive with fear, every thought screaming at her to run. And yet, there it was again. That same paradoxical calm washing through her even as she trembled. The kind of comfort you don't want but can't deny. It terrified her. She thought that would be the end of it, that the encounters might fade like the others had before. But then came the night that changed everything. Her routine was simple. She always slept with music playing. It was her shield. The hum of a song, the steady rhythm of sound, it drowned out the bumps and creaks of the house, the noises of the night that might otherwise convince her something was coming. That night, she followed the same ritual. She brushed her teeth, headed into the bathroom before bed. On the counter sat a light-up device she sometimes used, the kind that doesn't switch on easily. You have to spin a stiff mechanism to activate it. Even she sometimes struggled with it. She sat there in the quiet, and the light flicked on by itself. Bright, sudden, impossible. She yanked the plug from the wall, heart hammering, and rushed to her mother to tell her. Her mother brushed it off, as mothers sometimes do, telling her she'd be fine. She went back to bed, still shaken, but trying to convince herself to sleep. And that's when the dream began. She dreamed her music stopped playing, that someone yanked her out of bed. The terror felt so real that when she woke, she wasn't sure it had been a dream at all. Her music really was paused, and she couldn't move. sleep paralysis. That's what some people would call it. But to her, it was something more. She whispered a prayer in her head, begging nothing else would happen. And then, just like before, the weight returned. The presence lay down on top of her, pressing her into the mattress. Only this time, instead of terror, the wave of comfort hit harder than ever. She felt safe. But why? She tried to push the thought away, tried to cling to the sensation of calm. And then another thought slipped in, half a joke to herself, half a desperate wish. Man, I wish my music was still on. But there's no way I'm getting up to turn it back on. Seconds later, the music started playing. She sat up, shaking. Her skin was slick with sweat, her body trembling. The music filled the room, as if mocking her disbelief. And then came the hand, a hand resting on her shoulder, gentle, comforting. The same contradiction, terrifying in its reality, soothing in its touch. She bolted, running to her mother in the living room. Breathless, she declared she was sleeping out there for the night. Her mother, skeptical, went back to her room and unplugged everything, determined to prove her daughter was imagining things. But it didn't matter, because the next wave came at 3 a.m. She woke to the sound of static, of a radio dial being turned, the faint hum of frequencies shifting, voices crackling in and out, music fragments cutting across the silence. She froze. The sound was coming from her room. She lay there, rigid, listening as the dial settled on a station. A song she loved played, familiar and warm in a way that should have calmed her. She drifted back into uneasy sleep, forcing herself not to think about what it meant. When she woke again, it started over. The static, the tuning, the dial moving as though someone invisible was searching for the right song. Again, it landed on something she liked. She pulled the blanket tighter around her, too terrified to tell her mother. She willed herself to sleep again, praying morning would come quickly. When morning finally came, her mother found her still pale, still trembling from the night before. She brushed it off at first, told her daughter to go back and get another hour of sleep in her own room. Together, they carried her things back inside. And when they entered, the radio was still on. Her mother's eyes widened. "What the heck?" she muttered. And for the first time, the girl felt a rush of vindication. "See," she said, "I'm not nuts." For a teenager, proof is everything. Up until that moment, she could be brushed aside as dramatic, sensitive, maybe even unstable. But when her mother saw the radio playing on its own, when she couldn't explain away what she was looking at, something shifted. Still, proof doesn't make it easier to live with. That night she lay awake, her nerves frayed, her body trembling at every creak of the house. She thought about the presence, the way it pressed down on her, the way its breath brushed against her neck, the way its hand lingered on her shoulder. It never hurt her. If anything, it helped, turning her music back on, choosing songs she liked, keeping her company when she was most afraid. But that's what unsettled her most. Because what kind of ghost tries to comfort you? It would be easier if the presence was violent, if it slammed doors, threw objects, screamed in her ear. Violence is simple. You know what you're dealing with. You can name it. Malevolent, dangerous, something to expel. But comfort, that's trickier. Comfort blurs the lines between good and bad. It makes you wonder if you're being cared for or groomed. She admits it freely. Part of her liked it. The weight on her body, the feeling of safety in the dark, the music playing when she wanted it to. But another part of her recoiled in terror. Because even kindness, when it comes from the unseen, is wrong. And wrong has a way of catching up with you. Sleep became impossible. She never knew when the next encounter would come. Would the bed dip under unseen footsteps? Would she wake to find the radio tuning itself again? Would the hand on her shoulder return gentle and steady, reminding her she wasn't alone, even when she wanted to be? The exhaustion wore on her. She dragged herself through her days, unable to focus, her nerves fried from nights spent staring at the ceiling in fear. School became harder, friendships frayed. She tried to tell people what was happening, but how do you explain that the ghost haunting you doesn't want to scare you? It wants to hold you? Her mom still tried to reason it away. She unplugged electronics, rolled her eyes, insisted her daughter was just over-imaginative, but deep down, the girl knew her mother didn't believe that anymore. Not after seeing the radio playing on its own, not after hearing the static in the middle of the night. And still, her mother chose not to say it out loud. Maybe because admitting it would make it real. The girl thought back to her earlier encounters, the man in red, the same man dressed in white, the praying figure at the foot of her bed, the family of four who looked like they'd stepped out of another century. Were they all the same presence? Or had she simply been followed her whole life by different entities, one after another, drawn to her like moths to a flame? She couldn't shake the feeling that one of them, the first one, had never left. That it had been with her since childhood, changing faces, changing roles, but always circling back, watching, waiting. And now at 15, it had grown bold enough to touch her. She doesn't describe herself as brave. In fact, she calls herself a scaredy cat, quick to run to her mother's side when things get bad. But even fear has its limits. And she's reached hers. She lies awake now at night, her body rigid, her mind buzzing with the same looping questions. If this presence doesn't hate her, why won't it leave her alone? If it only wants to comfort her, why does it keep her from sleeping? If it's trying to help, why does it feel like it's stealing pieces of her, her rest, her peace, her sanity? She wonders if she's unstable, if it's all in her head. But when the radio tunes itself to songs she loves, when the weight of invisible footsteps presses into her mattress, when a hand she can't see rests on her shoulder and makes her feel both safe and sick with fear, she knows it's real. She knows she's not imagining this. The haunting hasn't ended, not yet. It continues, night after night, sometimes quiet, sometimes heavy, always there. It's no longer about whether it's good or bad. It's about endurance. How long she can go without breaking. Because being haunted by something kind is its own kind of cruelty. It robs you not with violence, but with confusion. It makes you question every instinct. It turns comfort into a weapon, tenderness into terror. And at 15, she's left with one question that echoes louder than the rest. What does it want from her? Picture her there now, music playing softly in the corner, the hum of it filling the room. She lies stiff under the covers, staring at the ceiling, praying nothing happens tonight. But already, she can feel it. The air shifting, the mattress dipping, the weight pressing down. A breath brushes against her neck. And though she wants to scream, to run, to claw her way out of her own skin, another part of her goes still. Because once again, against her will, she feels safe. And that's the most terrifying part of all.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.